Was I quiet? All right.
Just yell more.
Okay, so today, here's what we're going to talk about. We got metal music, and we got metal heads and baller time cuntfuckers. Yeah!
Yep, that's it. That's the name of the show.
And on that note, hello and welcome to Headbangers Baller Time,
yes.
The name of this podcast that we thought long and hard about, and by long and hard, I mean Matt came up with the name, and then I said, that's fine.
Yeah, name's great.
I realized the last episode I didn't introduce myself, so I should probably do that this time. My name is Tyler Rosen, a.k.a. Commodore Jenkins, and I'm joined here again with Matt Leslie, a.k.a. Shinboy630.
Oh, hi. This name was all my idea, taking full credit.
You were the one responsible. Direct your messages toward him.
Yes, direct your hate towards me.
Also joined with us is Ian Saunders, a.k.a. Squiddle. Say hi.
Woo-hoo! He's excited.
Very excited about that name.
I don't blame him.
I am, yes.
So,
I got squids in my pants and the snails.
One album
around.
That you mentioned last week, Ian, that Tear, whatever. They're from some weird country out in Europe somewhere. Sounds pretty good.
Scandinavia's probably.
They're like some. I looked it up. They're from some weird island that has not a lot of people.
It's just them and like two other dudes, and they play for them.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good. The Where Eagles Dare cover is pretty good.
That was good. I listened to the Cemetery Gates cover. That was also decent.
Yeah. Hell Hath No Fury is a good track. Hell Hath No Fury, like a woman scorned, you guys. It is known.
It is known, Khaleesi.
God.
All right, so what did you guys do over the weekend? Do anything fun?
Nope. Oh, actually, that's not true. I ordered computer parts today.
That's always fun.
Yeah, I have a media PC downstairs that I'm rebuilding.
Did you buy a CPU for it so you can stream Steam games now?
Yes, that's actually the main reason, because those of you who don't know, video decoding is oftentimes very CPU dependent, especially when it's doing it on the fly, like I'd be doing with something like streaming Steam games. So I had to upgrade the CPU. I bought like a cheap AMD one, but it's better than like the 8-year-old CPU that's in there now.
Yeah.
So it cost me like, after rebates and stuff, it'll be like $230 to rebuild the whole thing, which isn't bad at all.
No, that's not too bad, especially what you're getting out of it.
Yeah.
I probably could have sent you some motherboards that I have laying around that would have fit something.
It's, I don't know, you probably don't have any AMD stuff, which is what I'm using.
I do.
Ooh. We'll discuss, because it hasn't shipped yet.
Okay. I'll dig it out from the trash in my closet.
Trash in the closet? When's your debut album coming out?
It's coming out on September 32nd. Of 2092.
That's a long time.
Mark calendars.
I hear it's gonna be the next best thing to Winter Sun, so that's why I'm drawing it out as long as
I'm just gonna throw some weird science out there. The moon is slowly drifting away, thus slowing the Earth's orbit of the sun, thus increasing the length of the year, adding a 32nd day to September by that year. So that date works out.
Okay.
Science. Welcome to the Science Cast.
Hey.
Science.
So that'll be the name of the band, name of the first album right there, Science Cast.
The first album, the first track.
You're not going to do one of those things where it's like Iron Maiden off of the album Iron Maiden by the band Iron Maiden?
Probably not.
Those are always my favorites.
They're pretty good. Like
especially
like,
when you
Dream Theater.
Yeah, Dream Theater has that.
Black Sabbath did that. Iceberg did that.
It's really funny when you see, like, I guess music videos are not super common in metal, but like when it has it like in the bottom corner and it's listed vertically, so they're all just right above each other. It's like which one's which. Always a fun situation. So yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
Ian, did you do anything?
Hold on, so
sounds exciting.
All right, sounds
like weekend. Not music related, but I did kind of do a who was that guy that just passed away?
Oh yeah,
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I did kind of like a mini marathon of some of his movies. Watched the Capote, which is actually pretty
okay.
good, and then Catching Fire, where he's
in that.
Yeah, he plays the new game maker.
I don't know.
I watched the first Hunger Games movie, and I thought it was pretty good. Everyone says the second one was better.
Did you watch Moneyball?
I did not watch. No, those are the only two. That was my mini marathon.
Oh, okay. You should watch Moneyball.
Okay. I don't know. It didn't intrigue me, but I'll give it a whirl. So
It's an interesting story.
Okay.
Because it is based on, like, an actual thing that happened in baseball.
Kind of sad, though, we read about what happens after the movie.
What do you mean? How they were bad?
How they lost after that.
Oh, well, yeah. But that wasn't the point.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the manager of the A's.
Okay. But I got a hint to what my Valentine's Day gift may be.
Please
so
tell.
So I may be doing digital or rips of my vinyls very soon to digital
Ooh.
Format.
Yes.
So, a hint.
And I will be receiving all of them.
A hint was dropped, but not confirmed. So we shall.
Okay.
That's very exciting.
And hopefully my new Death Clock album will be here soon.
That'll be like a test run. See how that rips.
I think the first.
Do you have
the first one's gonna be Winter's
Time. Do you have the blue? I'll say, do you have the blue Time One record?
Yes.
Okay.
No,
that thing
no,
looks
no.
really
Mine
weird.
Mine wasn't blue.
Wait, what?
So, no. Okay. So when I ordered it was blue on Amazon. Okay. And when I got it, it was the limited edition red version. So it's a clear.
Whoa.
It's a clear red, as opposed to a like a trans or transparent red as opposed to a transparent blue.
That's weird.
So I was like, that's all right.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I was hoping for the blue. I really was. That's what I was expecting.
All right, then. That was your weekend, and I didn't really do much this weekend either. I got really drunk on Friday.
Just,
we had way too many people at our house.
Describe really
I was not
drunk.
Expecting.
Yes.
And then I spent the next 2 days hungover.
Don't touch the question.
That was it. I didn't hear the question.
How drunk is really drunk?
I've been drunker, but this was still pretty
was
drunk.
Was this, like, dangerous to your health?
No.
Oh.
This is more like I need to lie down before bad things happen.
Like you close your eyes and you can feel the room spinning.
Well, I close my eyes and I wake up the next morning.
See, I close my eyes and the room starts spinning. That's when I know, oh, bad things are about to happen.
Yeah.
That's
gonna
what
go,
good things are about to
gonna
happen.
Gonna go pay a visit, worship the porcelain god.
No, you just gotta fight through it, lay down, you'll be fine.
No, because I get sick really easily from, like, anything. Not even alcohol related.
That's when you have to have, like, an IV ready just to get your arm.
I also don't like IVs.
Oh, man. If I had, like, a portable IV system, like, I could just hook up and it would just start dripping, like, when I got too drunk, that would be the awesomest thing in the world. But then that would feed my alcoholism, which is probably a bad thing as well. So.
I think you just put vodka in the IV instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's.
Just directly into the veins.
Well, in one arm, I'll do vodka, and the other arm, I'll do Kool-Aid. So when they mix together,
okay,
it's going to be a wonderful sugar.
You got to.
You'll just instantly dehydrate.
Why don't you just get some Gatorade or something instead?
Oh, there we go.
So it'll keep you hydrated.
Okay.
Get some electrolytes up in there.
All right.
I think we're onto something.
Oh, so speaking of drinks, to not tangent off, I saw a new drink on Reddit the other day people were talking about. I don't know if you guys caught this, but it was for the Olympic Games. It was basically take flavored Kool-Aid into different ice trays, mix them together. And then you have different colored ice cubes. Put them in a glass. Get carbonated soda. Put it in there. Mix it with vodka. And now you have a gay Russian.
That's pretty funny.
I like it.
It's pretty good.
What I want to try is get like I forgot what they're called. Like the tall like double shot glasses.
Know
what I'm talking about?
Highballer.
Sure.
That's what they're called. They're highballer glasses.
Okay. Like the tall thin ones.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that. Fill one of those with cotton candy.
Oh.
Pour the vodka in. The cotton candy dissolves, and then just shoot that.
That sounds pretty.
That's dangerous.
I will say that UV vodka makes a, what is it, like a cream vodka or a whipped cream vodka?
No, I have a bottle of, forgot who it's made by, whipped cream vodka in my basement where all of the booze is, and it smells terrible.
Well, thank God about that fucking Tito's you made me drink that one time.
That was your own fault.
God, that was fucking horrible.
That's why I picked it.
Mm. Fair enough.
Drink responsibly, kids. Okay, so let's talk about some albums we've been listening to. I think we all are super excited to talk about this one, because it is quite possibly the most important album to come out this year.
Not even quite
possibly
it
our
is.
Entire generation.
Lifetime.
Which, of course, we are referring to Dawn of the Brave, the new album by the metal poets Van Canto. Ruma Numa 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 Numa.
Truly the greatest poets of our time.
God. Van Canto might be the dumbest metal band I've ever heard.
I don't really think it's a contest. I think it's pretty obvious that they are.
But for those of you who don't know, who have never heard this band, they are an a cappella metal band where they have a lead male vocalist, lead female vocalist, and they have three guys doing instruments with their voices. So they
Please,
have like
refer
a bassist
to them by their proper titles.
Oh god, I don't even know what that was. Like,
like
one guy does high rikikikis.
Yeah, high like high rakatakas, like the dumbest names.
And then they have a drummer.
Yeah,
he
because
just plays drums.
Well, they originally wanted to get a beatboxer to do it, but he couldn't keep up with like the tempo of metal drums.
Oh, sure,
it's too intense.
I think it'd be awesome if they did a cover of Unicorn Invasion of Dundee, and
okay,
they had the lead.
I think the universe would just explode.
Where they had just the lead singer do the vocals, but then they do the rest of it. That would just be awesome.
That would just be a level of stupid that our universe cannot
yes!
handle.
Yeah, I think the universe would just implode on itself.
Yeah,
good times.
I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, so I listened to that album today. That was something.
Is it out? I haven't
actually
listened to the album. Is it actually out?
To get...
Like,
yeah, it's out in Europe?
Okay.
It's out on the internet.
Okay.
Because Europe gets everything before us. Metal, JRPGs.
Oh, that's not always true.
A lot of the times it is.
I think Rune Factory 4 got canceled for Europe, but that's not important.
No, it's not.
I actually... Getting down to some hardcore criticism here.
Okay, lay it on me.
I do not think this album is as good as Tribal Force, their previous offering. At least I think it's their previous offering.
I thought that was two albums ago.
It might be. It's the most recent one in my library.
Okay.
It's 2010.
My only complaint for this album is that I was a little bummed that there weren't any guest vocalists slash musicians. Like the previous one had.
I kind of like it when they don't do guests, because it makes it feel like they can actually do it on their own as opposed to having to have a guest. But...
I guess, but if they wanted to do that, then they wouldn't have covers in their albums either.
Yeah.
Which, the covers of this album, they might be some of the best.
There are four of them.
They are, and they're all pretty great.
I'm trying to find their vinyl.
You sent me that video of the Into the West cover.
Yes, that was awesome.
Which is the song from the Return of the King credits. And it's just the female vocalist like looking all ethereal, just like floating through the sky with like mountains in the background.
Yeah.
And I message you back. I'm like, am I dead? And this is like ushering me into the afterlife? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You actually got in a car crash this morning and you didn't realize it, so the song was playing.
That's what it looks like. It looks like someone is, like, singing you into heaven. Like, what's going on?
I'd be okay with that, if that's how I went.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst way to go.
No, yeah. It would not. It would be one of the silliest ways to go.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so there was that cover. There's a cover of The Final Countdown, which the beginning of that is pretty good. It's the build-up.
Yeah, because I was listening to the album in the background while doing other things, and I didn't realize it was the fifth track. I figured it would be later. So the beginning of that cover is like kind of quiet as it gradually builds up, and I'm just hearing it in the background. I'm like, wait, hold on. Am I hearing what I think I'm hearing?
Could this be true?
Could the legends be true?
And there's that, and then there's the Paranoid cover, which pretty much every band has ever
it's a rite
has covered
of passage.
That band at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was they were legally obligated to cover that song. And then the best for last, I think, is the cover of Holding Out for a Hero, the Bonnie Tyler classic.
It's amazing. Which it's everything I could hope for.
Which you might remember from at the end of Saints Row the Third.
No.
One of the best moments in that game.
Anybody will remember that from Short Circuit 2. When Johnny Five is going down the docks, trying to catch up with the boat.
I remember that from Saints Row the Third.
We go a little more recent here.
Oh, don't even start with me.
Old man.
Shut up! Alright.
You need a 3DS to make you feel young.
God damn you. God damn you.
Awaken your inner child.
No, I just need to listen to some more, and I'll feel better, and I'll be
Oh, no.
Oh, what did I tell you last week?
I thought the warning was very clear.
I even censored their name in the show so that no one would know.
I'll put a censor in there. No one knows.
You're gonna have to censor it again. Man.
Okay.
But yeah, that cover is everything I could hope for.
It was everything that...
It's funny because it's actually like not that great of a cover, which in a way makes it a lot better.
They don't play it as straight. They kind of make it their own, which is a sign of a good cover in my book.
I can't find
because like a lot of their other covers are like actually pretty decent covers considering their musical style, but I think this one's actually kind of bad, which makes it way better in the process.
I mean, that song is actually kind of bad. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I guess they...
Well, the one thing that I want to point out about that album, which I love, is you know how in a lot of metal songs, well, they'll have the chanting in the background, where it's like crowds of hundreds of people, it's actually just like three dudes overdubbed? Well, Van Canto was like, fuck that noise, we're going to actually bring in 200 people and record them all at once doing the crowd chanting.
What song is that even on? Because there's not that much chanting on this album, except for the beginning.
There's at least one where you hear it pretty prevalently. I have to listen to it again.
Even with, like, the Skyrim music, they... What they did with that, because I remember watching something, an interview with Jeremy Soule about it, they had the men's choir, which I don't remember how many people it was, but instead of just, like, doubling or tripling it, they actually had the same group of people record it a bunch of different times and layered those on top of each other. Because, you know, you can't do anything exactly the same twice in a row.
Yeah.
So that's how they did that, which I thought was an interesting approach. It was sort of like a neat middle ground.
I'm waiting for that symphonic album. Or not the symphonic, the, just the symphony. I hope that comes out soon.
What do you mean, the Van Canto one?
No, the Jeremy Soule one.
Oh, yes, okay. I'll say, because the Van Canto symphonic stuff is just the bonus album, which I have too. Which is, I'm really disappointed, because it says orchestral version next to all of these, and I thought it was the actual song, but with an orchestra backing. It's basically just the orchestral arrangements.
Oh, I see.
So
right? Isn't that kind of a bummer?
Yeah, a little bit.
So right now, you can get the Hero album from Van Canto from Japan, standard shipping for $618.
Okay.
Japan loves acapella metal, apparently.
That's a lot of money. Jesus.
And then there's Showtime Storytime.
Yeah. I still want to watch that documentary.
Can we just sit down and watch that at some point?
You have a viewing party.
Yep, just like we watched the Nightwish Imaginarium movie.
Oh, God, that movie's really weird.
It is.
That movie actually was better than I was expecting it to be.
I just love the beginning where the one character, like, talks to the other character and is like, none of this makes any sense. And I just go, you're telling me.
There's a moment like that in Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories where Sora's just like, I don't get any of this. I'm so confused. And I was just like, you and me both.
We're right there. All right. So enough about Van Canto for now. We could go on about Van Canto probably.
We could have a separate podcast about Van Canto.
Yeah, but let's not do that.
Not.
I also listened to the new Behemoth album, just out of curiosity. I'm
not
really a huge Behemoth fan, but I listened to that album. It's okay.
I listened to one of the tracks.
It's not the worst thing, but it doesn't really do it that much for me.
Yeah, they're Polish, by the way, which they're my countrymen.
Polish love them some metal, as we'll discuss later.
Wait,
but
I'm trying to look at this list and see what part of that is. Anyway.
You'll see it. But as someone who doesn't like most modern death metal bands, Behemoth, I think, are actually one of the better ones that I would choose to listen to over a lot of other ones.
That was a convoluted sentence.
I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, sure. Like, I guess unless you would consider, like, I don't really consider Carcass a modern death metal band because they've been around for forever. But that new album was really good.
It was melodic in the way that I want most death metal to be, when a lot of it just kind of sounds like a wall of sound.
Well,
I can't get into it.
And then there's like Amon Amarth, they're technically death metal if you really break it down.
Yeah.
They're more Viking metal, but they don't like being called Viking metal, so they prefer to be called melodic death metal.
Yeah, that's why all their songs are about Norse gods.
And Vikings.
We're not Viking metal, what are you talking about?
Hold on, let me pull up some tracks, just names. Like,
and Loki is a consistent character,
like,
in their songs.
Deceiver of the Gods had a song called Blood Eagle. That is distinctly a Viking thing. And Warriors of the North, which are Vikings. Come on,
all
now.
All they would need is just to have a song about Brett Favre.
Yes.
They would be a Viking metal band.
Randy Moss. NFC Championship game in the late 90s. Yeah, as someone who, like you, does not listen to a ton of modern death metal, Behemoth is one of the more solid ones.
Yeah.
Like I said, I listened to some of it. I was like, this is okay. I would not mind listening to this from time to time.
Yeah, I was pretty much the same way. It's like, I don't mind listening to this, but I wouldn't really go out of my way unless I was super curious.
If someone was looking for a modern death metal band to listen to, I would perhaps point them in that direction.
Sure. I mean, I don't even think they've been around for kind of a while now, I think. So they're not, like, super modern,
yeah.
But they're still more modern than a lot of the older ones.
Give me a Polish metal band to listen to. I'll be like, okay.
What did you just lick me?
What is this? I'm looking for Vankanto's vinyl. And I guess they don't make any vinyls. And somehow I came across this reggae Jamaican guy dressed up as a musketeer.
Yeah,
And the smile and the outfit just, I mean, made me giggle. So I thought I had to share that.
Did you see the customers who bought this item also bought those images? The one at the right.
Jeez.
Okay, yeah.
All right, let's move on from that. Ian, what did you listen to? Because you have something in here.
I listened to Tajara's new album.
I think it's Taria.
Taria, Tajara, okay.
Taria?
I listened to that Turja album. It's actually pretty good, you know?
Behemoth was formed in 91, by the way.
Okay.
Also, someone on the forums, seeing as it's linked here, asked me about if any of us really listen to black metal, because I guess actually Behemoth does have some black metal influences and roots, because they've done the whole white face paint and all that. I personally don't listen to a lot of black metal. I'm not a fan of a lot of the tenets of it, as in where it's like super, super fast and high-paced and has a lot of, especially early black metal, sort of the stuff that was trend-setting for the genre, had a lot of rough production on it, which I'm not a fan of at all. I think it sounds nice. Same. So yeah, not my
nice
thing.
Nice clean sound.
I can appreciate it, but it's not my thing.
I listen to Primordial, which is like black Irish folk metal. And Primordial is probably, if I'm in, just need to get stuff done, I will throw any one of their albums on and just chill and do my work. So, you know, I mean, my favorite, The Nameless Dead and Redemption of the Puritan's Hand are my two favorites, but I don't know. It's classified as black metal, but it does have some Irish folkiness to it, which is what I appreciate, so.
That's interesting. Mac, you were telling me about On Black Metal the other day.
Oh, yes. Now, my favorite subgenre of metal is Un-Black Metal.
Un-Black.
Which
is
just,
really your favorite?
No, it's my favorite in concept.
Yeah.
It is just Christian black metal.
Huh.
But just the fact that it is called Un-Black Metal is really funny.
Oh, what was the band? I was looking them up the other day. They were an Un-Black Metal band. I forget their name.
I don't know. I could probably pull up a list.
You should do that.
Here we go. Blood Covenant, an Armenian symphonic un-black metal band. This is just on the Wikipedia article.
That's a good name for an un-black metal band.
Let's see. Nope, I'm not going to look through this whole article.
All right, let's go. Let's go back to Ian. We kind of hijacked
that's
the topic.
That's all right. Yeah, so Colors in the Dark is whatever her name is that I keep mispronouncing.
The former Nightwish singer.
Former Nightwish singer.
The original.
The operatic singer of the Nightwish when they were doing operatic sound. So she, her solo stuff, Colors in the Dark, really like a couple tracks on there. Some of them not so much, but so far it's a pretty good listen. Definitely one I would probably buy on vinyl because it would sound phenomenal, I think. So I'm going to be...
There's an album... Oh, sorry. There's a song on here that was written by Peter Gabriel.
Is it a cover?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Or did she recruit Peter Gabriel to write a song for her? That'd be pretty
awesome.
Amazing. Probably a cover.
It's probably a cover.
Yeah, I haven't listened to a ton of her solo stuff. I listened to the one song that Jorn covered, and I actually like that cover more.
Which song is that?
I Walk Alone.
Oh, it's a great song.
It is. I like the Jorn version better.
That cover is the better version of that song.
Let's see, it was Darkness, and let's see if he did that.
I googled Darkness Genesis and got nothing.
Darkness, Peter Gabriel, Darkness. It looks like it is a cover.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it was on his Up album, which is one of my favorites by Peter Gabriel.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is a cover.
I don't know much about Peter Gabriel, musically speaking.
I know that song that John Cusack is holding the boombox up playing in that one movie.
Say That's Anything?
Yeah.
No, you gotta go with the Big Booty Bitches version of that Say Anything scene.
Oh, God.
I've been trying to find that video for forever. Not the original Big Booty Bitches one, but specifically a mash with that Say Anything scene. And I, for the life of me, cannot find it.
Somebody should just make it some black metal song. I like to hear that version.
No, because Big Booty Bitches
black
is
metal.
Really funny. Yeah, on black metal.
One of those, specifically.
If you like, speaking of goddamn, what's his name? John Cusack, if you like movies about music, his High Fidelity one is pretty good. Just music in general. And it's a good movie, so.
Alright, I think that does it for albums. Let's talk about some news.
News!
Insert news, Diddy.
Okay. Alright, so there's a bunch of stories that happened that they're kind of smaller stories, but I still want to talk about. So, there's a Dio tribute album that's coming out featuring a ton of metal artists that you probably heard of.
Oh, wow.
It is called This Is Your Life, and it comes out April 1st. And the cool thing about this is that all the proceeds are actually going to the Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund, which was founded by, I think, Dio's wife. And here is the track listing for all of the covers. There is a cover of Neon Nights by Anthrax. There's a cover of The Last in Line by Tenacious D.
It's going to be amazing.
That sounds pretty incredible. There's The Mob Rules by Adrenaline Mob, which I think they put out before one of their EPs.
Yeah, I'm looking at these, and not all of these are, like, this is the first time these tracks are appearing. These covers, I mean.
There's Rainbow in the Dark by Corey Taylor, Roy Mayorga, Satchel, pretty sure it's from Steel Panther, Christian Martucci, and Jason Christopher. There's Straight Through the Heart by Hailstorm, Starstruck by Motorhead, with Biff Byford from Saxon, which I guess they couldn't get Lemmy to sing on a Dio song. That'd be kind of bad. Temple of the King, the Scorpions, Egypt, The Chains Are On by Doro, Holy Diver by Killswitch Engage, which that's another one that's been released before.
It's fitting that this album is coming out on April 1st, because that cover is a joke.
But okay. Catch the Rainbow, Glenn Hughes, Simon Wright, Craig Goldie, Rudy Sarzo, Scott Warren, I by Oney Logan, Jimmy Bain, Rowan Robertson, Brian Tichy, Man of a Silver Mountain by Rob Halford, Vinny Appice, Doug Aldrich, Jeff Pilson, Scott Warren. There's the Ronnie Rising medley, featuring the songs A Light in the Black, Terror Woman, Stargazer, and Kill the King by Metallica.
Why couldn't they get the amazing Jorn Kill the King cover?
That was really good.
That cover's so good.
The whole album, he did a cover album of a bunch of Dio songs, which some would think were original, other ones he wrote before. And then he wrote an original song that I think is like Song for Ronnie.
Yeah, Song for Ronnie James.
That's a good track.
But yeah, that Kill the King cover is one of the better covers I've heard, like, of anything.
That one was good. Chains Are On was also good. The Stand Up and Shout one might be my favorite.
So my question is, are they actually going to be re-recording them for this track, or do you think they're just going to take them?
Well, these are all covers.
Some of them...
I mean, like, are the ones that exist, like the Killswitch Engage joke of a cover, is that going to get
sure
re-recorded?
I'm sure they're just going to include the older ones. Like, the ones that are recorded before.
Well, I mean, there's a good enough new unreleased, quote-unquote, that have been on here. It'll probably be pretty good.
They've been talking about this album, I feel like, for the past couple of years. And there's always, like, a lot of artists been, hey, we're working on this, we're working on this too. But now it's finally coming out. And also, I didn't get to mention it at the end, there's apparently going to be an unreleased Dio song called This Is Your Life, which that should be interesting to hear.
Did they say if he's going to be, like, if Ronnie actually did a part in that, or is that just an abandoned?
Well, it says Dio for the artist, so I'm assuming it's just a song he recorded before he died that was never released. So, that's that.
That's a thing. I don't know what... I'm probably gonna... I'll definitely listen to it.
I'll
pick it up, though. I'll skip that Killswitch Engage cover.
I was actually... brief tangent. I looked at... There was a Michael Jackson metal cover album.
Yep.
Wow.
Where a bunch of metal artists were doing Michael Jackson covers. I think they had, like, Chuck Billy from Testament did a cover of Billy... Or no, it was a Thriller.
Alien Ant Farm for...
No, I was just about to say, and then at the end, they had the Alien Ant Farm cover of Smooth Criminal. And I was just like, could you really not get another, first of all, an actual metal band, but just another band to record a new cover?
They just had to include that really old cover. Man,
yeah.
So, there was a forum thread on the Giant Bomb forums about people's, like, covers that they think are better than the original, and some dude listed that cover. I'm like, you get out of here, sir.
Alien Ant Farm cover? Oh, God.
Yeah, Smooth Criminal. I'm like, you just leave. Your kind are not welcome here.
You're desecrating MJ's grave.
Just like country music, I have an appreciation for older country, like before it became all twangy and crazy and poppy. I have appreciation for pop music before it became crap. So, yeah, don't fuck with MJ, or I'll fuck you up.
That'd be a warning.
From this metal podcast, don't mess with Michael Jackson.
That's right.
Okay, There was the Lifetime of Adventure video that you were telling me about. I watched that.
I'm so stoked.
Explain for the good people what this is.
All right, for the people who don't know, which is probably most of you, the keyboard is for Nightwish. Tumas Holopin?
Yeah, let's go with that.
That's definitely not how you pronounce it, but okay. He is producing an album called The Life... No, it is based on The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
Yep.
It is called Music Inspired by The Life and Times of Scrooge, because apparently they couldn't get the Scrooge McDuck license from Disney. That hot property. Yeah.
That's actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, so he recorded an album, and the music video for one of the songs was just released, which basically is kind of just like studio clips, but just the way they're presented are really weird, because you'll see him just occasionally like smile at the camera. It's really creepy.
And then you'll have the dude who's drawing all the big portraits of Scrooge smiling at the camera, and it's also really creepy.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that, I think it's the worst.
Pretty awesome that they show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
even the album cover is
pretty
cool.
Look at that smile. Like, bad things are coming. They may or may not be directed at your butthole.
Oh.
Oh, why'd you have to take it there?
Man, that's like,
it was going there.
Like one guy, one, it was one going guy, there. One jar.
I don't... Let's not go there.
Wait, what was that? One time, one jar.
If you have not seen that, I sadly know what this is. I have to.
Is that related to Two Girls
One Cup? I will give a brief explanation.
It's not related, but in a similar vein.
I feel people listening here are old enough to understand. If you're not, I'm sorry. But a guy...
Kids cover your ears.
A guy basically squats on the ground and gets like a mason jar and... Creepy.
It's really weird.
It's pretty metal.
It is pretty metal. The song on the next Death Clock album. The next Death album.
Is it going to be called One Guy, One Jar? Or is it going to be called like the sound that he makes?
It's going to be like Metal Up Your Ass, except it's Jar Up Your Ass.
It's going to be a cover of Jarro that Metallica did that was a cover of an old Irish song. And that'll be the picture for the album.
Or it'll be like the Far Beyond Driven cover of Pantera, where it's literally just a spear going through a guy's ass.
Okay.
But then they had to censor it for the actual release.
A bunch of people have covered Whiskey in the Jar, by the way. Thin Lizzy did a cover.
Well, they did the cover that Metallica covered.
Yeah,
and
it was like a
cover of just an Irish drinking song.
Yeah.
So it was public domain, I think. That's why they were able to do it.
I mean, I don't think it was ever actually... It's just a folk song. I don't think it's actually a thing.
Yeah. All right. Next item, speaking of Epica, we talked about last week. They have a new album coming out called The Quantum Enigma, which is a pretty great album name.
It is. All their albums have been pretty solid.
It comes out May 5th in Europe, May 13th in North America. See, Europe gets everything first. I hate it.
Yo, that's when it's on the internet. That's all we care about.
Yes, that's true. Something I actually didn't realize was the main dude from Epica... Well, he formed After Forever, which was the band that Florianson sang in originally. So, small world, I guess.
Metal world is a small world. That's why everyone sings or plays on everything.
That's why you have Jordan Landy singing on an Arian album and an Avantasia album, and both those albums come out on the same day.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's why you have that amazing Star One DVD where Russell Allen just looks tanked.
Oh, God.
I was watching that last night.
That outfit.
Wait, Ian, you were talking about that previously.
Yeah,
last week, I think.
I thought I went through and watched some clips of it. I thought there was a point where Arjun actually had a guitar. I couldn't find it.
No, he does not. There's a separate point where he has a solo battle with the keyboardist who is using a guitar.
That must be what I thought it was.
I watched that too. That was pretty amazing.
And those suits are phenomenal.
There was one point, because the way the stage is set up, it's extremely small, and behind the drums there's a big old screen that's showing stuff depending on the song, and there's like a platform up there that sort of cuts halfway into the screen, if you know what I'm saying. So it's like above the ground, but not quite at the top of the screen. And one of the other vocalists, I don't remember who it was, who also had a silly like silver jumpsuit on, and one of the songs just sort of spins out from behind the screen and just stands up top looking like all triumphant, straight up like Scorpion cartwheeling out of the trees in the Mortal Kombat movie style. And it's one of the most amazingly dumb things I've ever seen. You should all watch that DVD.
Yeah, go find that DVD or YouTube clip. Oh, God. What have I done?
What are you doing?
I opened one of the stories, and the video just started playing.
Oh. That's why you don't click on links.
All right, let's move on.
Why are you so bad at Google Docs?
I just opened the link that I put in. okay. Speaking of Polish things, we talked about Behemoth earlier. Apparently there's a traffic circle in Poland that is named after Jeff Hanneman, who passed away last year, unfortunately.
Where in Poland? Let's see.
Somewhere in Poland.
It's just in the whole country of Poland.
Dworzno. It's a small city in Poland.
I know where that is. I have no idea where that is.
Yeah, Poland loves them some metal, especially Slayer. So it actually does not surprise me that much.
Well, like, they have, like, there's a version of Woodstock, if you will, that's held in Poland every year, a big festival. That's where that Sabaton DVD is from. I remember it because I thought it was really funny that a whole bunch of people from Poland were waving around Polish flags and being super excited and happy when there was a band on stage singing about Nazis.
Or yeah, that's right. I remember
now. At least, like, German World War II military battalions.
Yeah, forgive and forget.
I thought it was really funny.
You gotta move on from these things. Alright, that was just a quick little story. It's nothing really much to talk about that. This story I wanted to bring up because I thought it was pretty funny. So, we talked about last week how Red Hot Chili Peppers quote-unquote played during the halftime show.
Yeah.
And none of their instruments were plugged in. And the reason for that is because all of the music was actually just playing from a speaker that was recorded previously.
Yeah, I assume it was recorded live. It wasn't just a studio recording.
No, they probably recorded it live, but they weren't actually playing, is the point. Because of this, Axl Rose decided to take it upon himself to write a sort of essay on the matter.
This is like an open letter?
Yeah, I'm going to read the whole thing because it's pretty amazing.
Oh man, it starts amazing.
It's called In the Name of Science. Here it is, word for word. In regard to the internet's no wireless controversy regarding the Red Hot Chili Peppers Super Bowl performance as reported on ESPN, I enjoyed the show, and I have no idea what the real story is, nor would I want to suggest or imply anyone was actually performing, or that what they were playing wasn't what we actually heard. That said, I feel it's important to always look on the positive side of things, and to give the benefit of the doubt. So consider that maybe sometime before their actual performance, that rather than use a guitar cord or standard wireless, cord is spelled wrong by the way, that in the name of science and for all mankind, Flea courageously had a newly invented breakthrough in microchip technology installed in his ass that picked up the frequencies of his bass and transmitted them to his amplifier. Maybe they all have microchips installed on their asses. Not only pick up the frequencies of their instruments, but get DirecTV and the internet too. Like Google Glass, Google Ass. They could be scientific pioneers like Buzz Aldrin and shit.
I also like how scientific pioneers is in quotes.
Yes. True, pardon the pun, astronauts. Or like Super Bowl crash test dummies for bands kind of like those cars that drive themselves. And besides, if the band wasn't really playing, or wireless or whatever, and Anthony was really singing, they may have set a new record for the largest karaoke audience ever. Awesome. So relax and show some pride. This is probably all just Google finding new ways to enrich our lives with the selfless volunteering of the Peppers and the ever-ongoing creative process of true innovation, or perhaps a new lounge bar record or super magnificent proportions and a new pinnacle of human achievement not seen since the sign language guy in South Africa. God bless the Peppers and technology, PNTX.
What is the PN apostrophe T?
I don't know.
That sounds pretty awesome.
That might have been the coolest thing Axl Rose has done in the past 20 years.
Damn. Yeah, because, like, it starts out pretty pedestrian. Just saying, like, hey, man, they put on a good show, regardless of not what they were actually playing. Like, it's pretty straightforward, and just one musician seeming like he's coming out and supporting others. And then it just goes off the wall crazy.
Yeah, I can't tell if he was just kind of trolling or...
Or he's actually crazy.
Yeah, he might actually be crazy.
I like the Google ass. That was a nice touch.
Yep, so Axl Rose in the news again for
maybe
shit like that.
He's saying this because he has a microchip in his ass.
I wouldn't doubt it. Maybe he has several in his body, that's why he's so fat.
Damn, real talk coming out.
Alright, moving on. Are you guys aware of the whole Tim Lambesis being tried for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill his wife, who's actually an undercover cop?
I have heard about this, but I don't know any of the details.
No. Okay, so the singer for As I Lay Dying, he allegedly, even though there's pretty strong evidence to prove this, he tried to hire a hitman to kill his estranged wife, and the hitman was actually an undercover cop. So he got arrested, and now he's waiting trial. Jeez. And the reason I bring this up is because one of his side projects called Austrian Death Machine, which is a metal band...
Is that the name of the hitman he hired?
No, this is the name of his side project. It's a metal band where all the songs are about Arnold Schwarzenegger action movies.
Okay.
Alright, I'm down.
And Apparently, they did an Indiegogo a couple months ago for the new album before he actually got arrested. And the album's still coming out, even though the singer is being, right now, is awaiting trial, which is kind of awkward.
I mean, if the album's already recorded, the record label, because I don't, even though it was crowdfunded, do they still have a label for it?
If it's Indiegogo, I'm assuming it's self-published.
Because a lot of times people do crowdfunding just to prove that there's enough interest to get a publisher or, like, a studio involved.
Yeah, the story I'm looking at doesn't say, but...
Okay, but either way, the studio's going to put it out, or if it's, like, a crowdfunding thing, they have rewards to fulfill.
Yeah, they said they're going to honor all the rewards and stuff like that. It said the album Triple Brutal is being scheduled for release via Artery Records on April 1st, which I don't know if that's, like, their own recording label or some other outside party.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, but again, April 1st, which is a pretty funny day to release that album.
There's a lot of stuff going on that day.
Yeah. You should listen to an Austrian death metal song, because it's pretty great.
I think that the new Steel Panther album is coming out on April 1st as well.
That makes sense. Was it All You Can Eat?
Yes, All You
that
Can Eat.
That awesome album cover.
Yeah, the All You Can Eat cover where it's just the Final Supper, just with a whole bunch of scantily clad women.
How did you know that that wasn't what the Last Supper was actually like? They might actually have knowledge
that's
that we
point.
Don't know. Yeah, so that's pretty awkward. Speaking of awkward, actually not really awkward, but a little strange. So Under Armour has announced their new celebrity spokesperson, and it's none other than Amon Amarth singer. Was it John Hegg?
God.
It's probably not how you pronounce
Thor.
It either.
Thor.
Yeah. It's just Thor.
Odin.
Yeah, they released a press release. There's a picture of him wearing Under Armour, and it just says, John Hegg, Amon Amarth, the advantage is undeniable.
Yep, that's the thing.
That's a pretty great story.
Is the first Under Armour spokesperson that I can think of that's not an athlete.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I just want to ask, is that a sellout type thing, or is that just a, hey, I wear this because it helps me on stage, and if you want to promote it, give me money?
I think Under Armour were just big Amon Amarth fans, and were like, hey, let's get Amon Amarth to sponsor Under Armour, because that'd be awesome.
I have worked out to their music before while working out, and I do wear Under Armour sometimes when doing so.
Synergizing. Yep.
See, how come you're not making money off this sweet deal?
Because I'm still a fat fuck, and it doesn't help when you're not looking that good.
I don't know if you're looking at his image.
I am. I'm looking at the image.
But he's not exactly ripped.
He's a lot skinnier than I am. Damn straight. And his hair is much more beautiful than mine. However, I am growing my hair out, so it'll be much longer for PAX, and it will look beautiful.
Is it going to be like that length?
It'll be down to my shoulders, probably. But not like past my shoulders like his.
Screw all that Under Armour nonsense. I want that horn that is hanging on his hip.
I can get you one this year if you want one when I go to Red Fest.
Oh, man.
I want those gauntlets.
I have a pair of those. If you want to see them, I'll bring them to Red Fest.
You're all just decked out over there.
Just come in your metal uniform when we get there.
I will bring my entire outfit and wear it to PAX this year.
All right, you better have picks.
That and the pirate outfit. That's day two.
Yeah.
There's video evidence of that. You can go and find that if you really want to. There's also a picture of, I think, the whole band was at a Canadiens game, and you just saw them in the stands.
That's pretty funny.
I saw a tweet about that. Go Devils. Okay, next story.
Devils are the most metal.
Speaking
most
of
metal
really stupid bands,
team.
Not Amon Amarth, but some other bands we talked about. So, the wait is finally over.
Oh, finally.
Baby Metal's new their debut album is going to hit this month. I hope you're ready.
This month? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, watch out the video.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, February 26th, so...
That's not very far away.
2 weeks from Wednesday.
Oh, God, this video started playing. Yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. Now, to put it as you put it before, Ian, I'm going to call you out on this. You said you were strangely attracted to baby metal.
Please explain what you meant by attracted.
Or strangely attracted.
So the music was good, and it was like, okay, I can get into this. And if it was older, hot women dancing to it, I could totally get into it. But it was creepy that they were dressed the way they were and dancing the way they were. And I've always had a thing for anime and hentai. And so I see this, and I hear the metal, and I'm like, okay, I'm weirdly attracted to this ball of metamorphosis of music and the dress, and then they open their mouths, and then it just drops off for me completely.
hold on. According to their Wikipedia page, one of their genres is Koei metal, which I think is really funny.
What is Koei?
Because that is Koei is Japanese for cute.
I think we should probably explain for people who don't know. Baby Metal is a Japanese metal band starring a 13-year-old Japanese girl and like two 10-year-old girls.
Are they actually that young?
Yeah.
They're pretty young.
This whole thing's so strange.
I think
it's basically if you
Sue metal used J-pop and metal.
I forgot that was her name. It's also Moe metal or Yui metal. Screamer and dance.
It's basically if you were to mix like title. Sort of Japanese or Asian like idol music.
Yeah.
And heavy metal. It's a really weird thing that actually works a surprising amount of the time.
K-pop and metal. It's a hybrid.
J-pop. J-pop. K-pop and J-pop are very different.
Okay. Did you see the clips? They have a live Blu-ray coming out.
Oh, God, do they?
It looks like the same stage that was showing the Hatsune Miku concert.
That wouldn't surprise me that much.
Maybe it was the same concert, and then one of them was opening.
Hatsune Miku.
Just get all your Japanese metal and
it's weird, because most of the time, like, a lot of Baby Metal's music isn't that bad.
It is surprisingly catchy, which is really creepy when you watch the music video, which is like, oh god, what am I doing?
There's the strangeness I was talking about.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about you today.
Yeah, that explains the strange. It doesn't explain the other part.
I pray to the pig in front of me right now for solace and guidance in life.
What are we doing?
I'd rather listen to Baby Metal than listen to
Stop putting them up! God damn it! The quicker I can erase them from my memory, the better.
Hey, guys.
You better keep editing the name out.
Hey, guys, I have this Nexus in the Nexus.
I think what it's saying is that we should listen to that album entitled The Nexus.
On a Nexus phone or Nexus device.
Is the name of
while
is it
playing
The Nexus?
Ratchet and Clank into The Nexus.
That game's okay. But yeah, I'm probably going to listen to this Baby Metal album.
We have to have a listening party.
No, this is... I must do this on my own time. This is my personal alone time when I listen to this album.
Please edit all this out.
No, we can't.
Are you kidding me? This is the best recording we've done yet. This is only our second one.
This is the best episode of two.
Wait, after this. We'll end on top.
This is the best episode we've ever done out of two.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what the comments are going to be like for this one.
Get it, guys? It's a record?
Get it? Because we're talking about music?
Yeah.
You just killed it. We just went downhill instantly.
Okay, yeah, so let's move on from Baby Metal, please. While I still have this video up.
Here?
So Within Temptation is a band that I followed from when they started, and it's, I guess, their third album now they're coming out with. And I listened to a couple of songs on it, and they kind of went away from their heavier side, at least from what I've listened to so far, and the screaming vocals. I've always been a fan of chicks metal screaming. I've always had a thing that's kind of cool.
Are you strangely attracted to that?
Yeah, strangely attracted to that. And in this one, it is not as prevalent. It seems to be more somber compared to their previous two. So I don't know if it's like a concept album they're doing to kind of change direction, or just something they're trying out. But it's worth listening to, especially if you did not like the previous tone of Within Temptation. So yeah, give it a listen, see what you think. But yeah.
Is this kind of like how Opeth, was not really metal, and the next one's not going to be metal either?
Yeah.
And how everyone was complaining about that.
Yeah.
It was funny, because that Opeth album is actually pretty good.
I mean, it's kind of like, for me, it was kind of like the change. Amon Amarth, when they went from their previous one, I can't think of the name of it right now. Anyway, any of their previous albums, and then you go into Deceiver of the Gods, and it's a big change in tone. For the band,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a change.
The last couple albums have sounded pretty similar.
No, but it's a change because if you
listen to like With Odin on Our Side, that's a pretty similar album to Deceiver of the Gods, and that came out in 2006.
Track is a little more thrashy than the other stuff, but a lot of the albums still kind of has their signature sound.
I state that based on being able to hear and understand the lyrics within the music being played as well, not just in the metal and the music that's being played in the background or the actual. Music part, the lyrics are more clearly defined. So this one either was mixed better than the previous two, to where you can hear the artist.
I don't know, because even if you listen to something from, like, with Odin on Arsati, if you listen to, like, Runes to My Memory, you can pretty clearly understand what's going on.
They're Vikings. They're Norse gods. There's Under Armour.
There's Under Armour. God protect this house.
What if the next Imam Amarth album is just all, like, references
just
to Under
super
Armour?
Super shilly, like, yeah. Under Armour references.
It's like a picture of the back of all of them wearing Under Armour.
Football. Throw the football. Down the field. Touchdown!
Just like all of, just say Protect This House over and over.
Yeah. If there's a song called Protect This House, I will be very suspect.
I'm also suspect of Under Armour because they're an American company that has an OU in their name.
Yeah,
so I'm suspect
that.
Of them to begin with. There's no U in armor.
I never realized that. Holy shit.
Right? It's pretty suspicious.
You just blew my mind.
Right, they're from Maryland. That's why the University of Maryland has a lot of crazy uniforms, because the founder of Under Armour went to the University of Maryland.
What if it's like under our arm is what they're trying to go for? You're under our arm?
There's no. That's not how it works.
Okay.
Because then the arm and our are backwards.
I'm just trying to make that connection, man. It's a conspiracy, dude. It's a conspiracy.
Chemtrails.
The Illuminati is in all this.
The Templars and the Assassins. The Observatory.
Our pirates come in and tear you down.
Speaking of pirates, you also inserted this new story.
So,
I heard about this.
Please explain.
The Ale Storm's new recording, their fourth album, Sunset on the Golden Age, is coming out.
It's a pretty good name.
Earlier today, actually, I was like, man, it's been a few years since Alestorm's had a new album. Wonder if they're working on anything. So I Google it, and lo and behold, they're working on a new
album. Lazy Town songs are going to cover?
Crazy Town?
To be fair, they only covered that Lazy Town song because it was You Are a Pirate.
They pretty much had to at that point. I just like the idea that Alestorm had to actually watch a clip from Lazy Town to record a song on it.
The bastardization of the internet led me to what that was. And that was all messed up.
What, Lazy Town?
I don't know. You're probably strangely attracted to it.
Fuck off.
Are you strangely attracted to the girl in Lazy Town?
No finger right at you right now. Okay, fuck off.
You did it to yourself.
Too bad this isn't a video chat.
So, yeah, do they have they sort of entered the studio? Did they haven't given, like, a rough date or anything on it?
I didn't see anything. I probably should have done some more research. I just saw the name and I was like, oh, cool. New album coming out. But god dang it. I gotta get used to Mac computers not copy and pasting when I'm on them too.
Control.
I heard there's an easy way to solve those issues.
Oh, not have a Mac?
You know me too well.
Shocking. No.
Run Arch Linux.
No iTunes, I don't want you to launch. Away.
No, you never want iTunes to launch ever, regardless of what type of computer you're working on.
Oh, this is all messed up.
I'll put a link in the show notes about the new story.
Shownotes.txt.
Yeah, okay. So here's a big thing that I'll like. They have some songs that hit the 10-minute mark.
Good.
They got some long shit to be telling us while drinking.
I hope there's like 3-minute build-ups to each song.
That would be awesome. Expect more updates and drunkenness over the coming months. So early September.
Prague pirate metal.
Early summer, they said. So...
okay.
I'm gonna form a Prague pirate metal band.
Okay.
It's like super complicated, but also the pirates.
Okay. What about like space pirates? Because it's Prague metal.
Oh, have it all be like Metroid themed.
It's like there's that one.
There's
that one Japanese RPG on the PS2 that is like space pirates that Duran really likes, and I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Alestorm. An Argin Star 1 combination.
Rogue Galaxy. Yeah, it's a PS2 game that's about space pirates. So you can basically do a concept album about that game if you really want to.
I think I'll pass.
Like, look at that cover.
I just want to say right now...
so much space piracy.
I just want to say right now, pure green audio, quit fucking sending me to iTunes when I click on the side of your goddamn page.
Boom.
If you're listening...
yeah.
If you're listening, continue.
No,
not you.
Oh.
If they're listening, you have been warned.
Oh, okay.
The Black Sparrow of Time will find you.
Then we got, what, two more news. Well, one of these news pieces is related to a previous one.
Yeah, we probably should have mentioned this earlier. No, you did mention this earlier.
Oh, yes, we did mention. Okay, yeah, it's just the Into the West video where it looks like you've died and are ascending to heaven.
It's like the Assassin's Creed video.
Oh, God,
that
yes.
That song just playing.
Then the last bit here, since I discussed or brought up Black Metal earlier, it's Black Metal History Month. Which yeah. I think is kind of a play on Black History Month.
What makes you think that? Because
it's the same month. Like
crazy.
I think that's
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like is that racist? Like I can't figure out in my mind if this is racist or not.
I blame Obama.
That's kind of racist.
Obama decreed this.
That's right.
Obama said in his last State of the Union yep. that February will be Black Metal History yep. Month.
Only on Amazon.com.
And Immortal will lead the charge.
And then March will be on Black Metal Month.
No, that's... Oh, no. Well, when's Easter this year?
That's my birthday. Can't do that. No.
Is Easter in March this year?
Is Easter's probably in April, if I had to guess, because it's normally in April.
Easter's
probably.
April 20th.
Okay, so April will be on Black Metal Month.
Oh, during PAX.
Yeah, you're on Black Metal on PAX.
So, yeah. You said Immortal leading the charge. There are 4 Immortal albums listed here on this list of albums that are on sale.
Yeah.
How much are they going for?
They're going for anywhere from $5 to $7.99.
That's not a bad deal.
There are some Mayhem albums, some Darkthrone albums on
Do
here.
Do we have the Mayhem album that the cover is their former vocalist who straight up shot himself? And then they took a picture of it?
If they did, I don't think that's the cover they would use on Amazon.
Probably not.
I don't know which album that is.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah, that is messed up.
And then they use pieces of a skull to make a necklace.
Wow.
Yep. Because metal.
Hey, some people are committed to their art.
That's another thing. It's not specifically a black metal thing, but it seems to be more common within those subgenres where, like, people are just way too into it, where, like, singers of bands recently are getting killed because they aren't a true Satanist or something like that.
Yeah, they're not metal
like,
enough.
They don't love Satan enough. It's like, come on, guys. Let's dial it back.
I agree.
That doesn't really affect the music so much, but it's another thing that sort of turns me off from the subgenre.
You don't have to go out to a graveyard every, like, third night of the month or something and sacrifice a blood oath to some god or some tombstone.
Wait, I don't?
No, you don't.
This is news.
No. Oh, they're
good
on weekends.
You can do it right from your home. All you can have is a tombstone and put Marty McFly on it.
And like a goat?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's going on. If you want to get some old school black metal, it's on Amazon for the cheap.
They do have in the article we're hopefully going to link in the show notes here. Protest the Hero, which is a non-metal, but I really like Protest the Hero, so definitely I would check out that album.
All right, that's your
you caught up my train of thought. Oh, here you go. Yeah, talking about Amazon.
Yes,
I really wish that someone large like Amazon would start selling digital lossless music.
That would definitely be nice.
It's really hard to find.
I will make a prediction: in the next probably 7 years, you will have all platforms doing a lossless form. The problem I think right now is in getting technical that not many people have the storage capacity for it or understand why a song has to be 30 gigs or 30 megs.
Jeez. A lot of people don't have portable music players that can play those files.
Most, like, Apple has their own lossless format.
They do.
Yeah, but they don't sell their music in that.
You can buy
in
that.
No, you can't.
Oh, really?
No, their album, which is fucked up. They have their own lossless format. They can play on all their fucking devices, but they don't sell it in lossless format that's proprietary to them. The highest they sell it in is 256 A++. Or AC++ or whatever the fuck it is.
AAC?
Yeah, AAC plus whatever it was. It was plus at the time. Fuck that. But yes, they don't. And it's kind of messed up that they have the ability to do it on all their devices, but they don't provide that fidelity of music. So
I think it's also on the, I guess, host side. It takes a lot to store that, and you got to have pretty decent servers. And, like, you need high bandwidth on both ends, the user end and the server end, to make downloads quick enough to be acceptable, especially when the files are larger.
Well, sure. I mean, they just enabled, you know, being able to, within the last year and a half, download all your audio over your cellular signal. There's a lot of cell companies that like to shove you up the ass when it comes to bandwidth caps. So downloading a couple albums would probably hit you that 1 gig mark very quick of your maybe 4 gigs that you have limit. So, yeah, kind of sucks.
Yeah, probably should be an option to just do it over Wi-Fi.
There should be.
Yeah, because I'm looking at, let's say, the Human Equation, and that's two disks. And one of them, because it's two long FLACs with the Q files separating the tracks, so I get the size and FUBAR of each of the individual. Not the individual, like the whole disk. And one is 337, and the other is 330. So you have, like, 667 megs, like, two-thirds of a gig just for one album. And that's not even, like, super high bitrate. That's, like, anywhere from, like, 900 to 1,000 kbps.
But I think the three of us here would definitely appreciate, like you said... even Amazon has the goddamn server storage capacity to do
that's it. What I mean. They need someone like big, because there are stores that sell lossless music.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of it's not metal.
Well, a lot of them sell, so HD Tracks does sell lossless. They don't always sell metal. And there's also this whole thing where, so the problem when you come into providing lossless music, is it lossless from the master that they're providing, or is it lossless from, let's say, a vinyl rip? Because you can get a higher quality rip from a vinyl than you can with a CD.
Yeah.
And so whether or not the artist wants to go, okay, here's our master, here's our gold master, and we want you to make that into a lossless, you're kind of providing like their whole child. They're giving you their whole child, essentially, as opposed to a picture of their child, and say, look how beautiful it is. You know, and maybe it's on the artists and the record companies that they don't want to give that pure form out there, which I think is stupid, to be honest.
I think it's just a money issue. It's just more expensive.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would pay $20 that I pay for vinyls if I could get it in a digital format and it would sound as good. But
most of the plebeians out there are okay with MP3s, though.
There's a story I read that apparently Neil Young, he's launching his own digital music service where there's basically specializing in like really high quality music. Like,
good
he's,
on Neil
he's
Young.
Basically trying to get the masters for a lot of music.
Yeah,
I don't know. He's gonna have a lot of metal stuff on there.
But still, good on Neil
about
Young.
About three yeah, years ago, he announced on some talk show that he was coming out with his own player, like a handheld DAC, essentially, and everything, and it will be tied to his music service, where you can get all high quality, rips, essentially.
Yeah. So. Story says Neil Young sets 2014 launch date for digital music service Pono, which is P-O-N-O.
That's a horrible name.
Yeah, because like I'm also
it is, but
just like file size. I'm looking at some of this Nightwish stuff, which this is all vinyl rips.
Yeah.
Like this. Copy of Dark Chest of Wonders that I'm listening to right now. That's a 4.5 minute song that is at 57 to 71 kbps, 192 kilohertz, and it's this 4.5 minute song is 185 megs.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is.
One song.
It's totally worth it though, because it sounds great.
Yeah, I really hope the future doesn't result in just like more and more compression.
Well, I mean,
that would be really sad.
It does sound great, and I hate to go off on this other tangent, but like I have.
This is this whole show. We just go on tangents.
I have a really high quality pair of headphones in ear monitors that I use that I've constructed from bits and pieces. And when I listen to the audio that I can download from Google Music or iTunes, and I use my digital audio converter that hooks up to my laptop and play it, it sounds like utter shit.
A good pair of headphones makes MP3s sound terrible.
Yeah, they really do. So you have to listen to good.
You can
music.
Hear the compression, and it's the worst feeling in the world.
It gives me a headache. It'll give you a headache, literally, because it just sounds so bad. And the problem, I think, a lot of people don't have good headphones. They rely on Beats Audios, which have their own sound tune to them that people are like, oh, this is great, because every artist likes to push them like a fucking whore on crack. And they don't realize...
Or they use, like, the built-in Apple ones.
Yeah.
Like, the bundled-in
right.
ones.
Right. And then, not even with those, but people like presets for their audio. Rock, pop, or whatever. And that's what Beat Audios do. And everybody jumps in the Beat bandwagon. Then you have other companies that do the same thing. And you don't get the pure form. Before the preset sets in, what does the artist want to express?
The presets are the worst.
I agree.
Because, like, an album is mixed a certain way to sound a certain way for a reason.
Yep.
That's the way, like, the artist wants it to sound. And if you go with one of those presets, you're basically overriding all of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then you have a lot of in-ear monitors that like to say, well, this one's for bassy music, and this one's for rock music. I'm like, just make the headset good. Make it for standard cross-the-line flat. Presets, and just let people change if they want to, but let us hear what the artist has to actually say.
Yeah, unless you're Metallica, who just wants to compress the album so much to make it louder, make it sound like crap.
Are we over the loud wars, the volume wars?
Yeah. Loudness wars?
Oh, the loudness. Speaking of Japanese metal,
I don't think the loudness are involved in the loudness wars.
I watched that documentary on Sound City that Dave Grohl and company worked on and put together, and it turns out that the loudness classic that I forgot the name of the album, but that includes Rock and Roll Crazy Night, was recorded at Sound City, and I got really excited when I saw that album cover pop up in that documentary as a little side note.
Thunder in the East.
Yes, Thunder in the East.
It's a pretty good name.
So,
if you want really good headphones, you should buy those Motorhead headphones that have like the motors in them. It's called the Motor headphones. Lemmy was at CES last year. He was showing them off. It was really funny.
You know, next,
just get a nice pair of like Audio Technica or Sennheiser. There are any number of good brands that you can just get nice headphones.
I think next time we have a cast, I'll sit down and put together, you know, over the ear and in ear good headphones that are at a decent price.
Oh, Squiddle's headphone guide. Yes. Ian's headphone guide.
Exactly. And
just make like a series of how-to videos.
Like how to spend a little bit of money and how to spend a fuck ton of money and, you know, enjoy yourself. But yeah, I'll put something together for listeners if they want that. And even if they don't want it, fuck them. They can hear it and enjoy it. So,
all right, cool. I'm looking at this list of the albums that are on sale that aren't black metal, and one of them is Super Collider.
That's a bad album.
Megadeth album, which I think $5 is way too much for that album.
Is it about $5 too much?
I'm just saying, it is about $6 too much. They owe me $1.
Black Label Society.
Yeah, I think that's one of the live albums.
It's Zach Wild, right? Isn't that Zach Wild's one? Yeah.
Yeah. It's also Somewhere in Time, the Iron Maiden classic. If you don't have that, just get that.
Or if you're me, don't ever buy MP3s because you're a fucking wanker.
See if they have the vinyls on Amazon and pay way too much money for
then
them.
Send them to me, and then I'll make you high-quality rips of it. And then I would.
And then not say not
and then
send
I,
you the
and
files.
No, and then I will keep your
myself.
Vinyl, and I will send you the files.
This vinyl's mine now. I've been wanting to start a vinyl collection for the longest time. I just don't have the space or money to justify it.
It's not. I'll do that on a later podcast. But it's not expensive to get into it, and because you can find really good stuff at like local records. A lot of state.
No, because even if it's like only $200 for the equipment, which, you know, really isn't a ton of money, it's money that I would rather be spending elsewhere.
Okay, I mean, I can see that. I would say your initial investment is probably going to be about $500 for a receiver. If you have one, if it's an old receiver and it has phono out, then you're fine. Otherwise, you have to get a an amplifier for the players.
Up at school, in my dorm room, like my roommate's dad had a whole bunch of old audio equipment from like the 70s, and we had like a receiver. We had a PC hooked up to the receiver, like went through a preamp and an amp and out to a nice set of like bookshelf speakers, and that was really nice. Mm-hmm. But that is a lot of money to get all that. Like the only reason we had it is because we had it already.
Sure, but I mean, I'll throw some guys together if people want it and post them on wherever we post these at. So you can find them.
Giant Bomb Forums.
A website about video games that has...
If we do the threads for each of these shows, you could always throw it in the thread for that show.
Okay.
Dude, that seems to be it for news. That was a lengthy news segment.
It was. We went on multiple tangents.
Whatever,
but
man.
I think they're all pretty good ones, though. And then I came across this today. This isn't really news.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Honestly, it was only out today, then I saw it earlier today.
Bring this back around to video games, I guess, because we're hosting this on a video game website. Game Trailers did a list. It was a countdown for the 10 most metal video games. So I have the list here. I'll just go through them real quick. Number 10 is Killing Floor. Oh, I should say real quick. Their criteria was that the game had to have metal music in the soundtrack, but it couldn't just be a rhythm game, so you couldn't have Guitar Hero Metallica.
Fair enough.
Okay, I didn't realize that it had to have metal music in. I thought they were just doing like what we did for our Game of the Year stuff one year. We just sort of picked like, man, this is the most metal game. Okay, that makes sense.
I think that list would have been better,
because
honestly.
That would have like Darksiders on there, where you play as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's pretty metal. Or just the Guild Wars 2 Norn character creator.
Where you just pick beards.
You can just make the guys that made Mount of Marth.
Like, and people have done that and posted it on forums.
There's also the Skyrim mods of people who did that.
Yes.
That was very good. Alright, so number 10 is Killing Floor, which, sure. Number 9 was Splatterhouse, which I'm pretty sure it was a Wii game.
I don't know.
I don't know if Wii is really known for having metal games or not. Number 8 was Devil May Cry 3, which, as much as I like that game, I don't know. That game kind of leans more toward the emo side, to be honest.
Splatterhouse is an old arcade game, apparently.
Yeah, I think they did a remake of it.
It was on the Virtual Console?
No, it was a newer version. They had 2010 video for it.
No, that came out on the PS3 and 360. The PS360, as it is known.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like, a lot of, like, shorthand is just PS360 to refer to, like, those consoles as a whole. It's pretty useful.
Yeah, so there's Devil May Cry 3, which I feel like if you're the kind of person who thinks that game is metal, you probably listen to Evanescence, and I don't want to talk to you.
The game's pretty good, though.
It is. All right, number 7, Carmageddon 2, which is the game where you just run over people.
Is that, the David Jaffe joint?
No, that's Twisted Metal.
No. He did, a PSN one right near the launch of the PS3.
No, that was Calling Out Cars.
Okay, that's something else.
Yeah, Carmageddon is just, like, a really old PC game where you just run over pedestrians and get points.
It's pretty good.
I've never played it, nor do I ever want to.
Whenever you're driving and somebody says, all right, 500 points for this person, if you were to hit them, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, they made a game about that. And then they made a sequel.
Alright, it warranted a sequel.
Number 6, Brutal Legend, with surprise. The game has metal in it. Yeah, they said that they would have put it higher, but they said that they felt that some of it felt too much like satire, which I think is kind of BS.
Because, like, Tim Schafer legitimately loves metal.
He said he listened to, when he was trying to come up for names for one of his games, he just had a Motorhead album on loop. And then I think another one, he had an In Flames album playing on loop the whole time.
I didn't know that.
Dude loves him some metal. So number 5, Painkiller, which is the old game from People Can Fly.
Mm. They're Polish as well.
Number 4, F-Zero X, which apparently has metal in it. I was not aware of this.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I played that game, but I think we had the audio on really low, so I guess we didn't really notice. Number 3, Metal Gear Rising, which has metal in the name, so...
That soundtrack, let me tell you, is one of the best of the last few years.
I've heard some of the songs, especially the one that plays during that boss fight.
Yeah. That game... Oh, the game's nuts. I really want to play that game. I'll buy it when it's on sale. Metal Gear.
Number 2 is Guilty Gear, which is the fighting game that has, like, the anime characters. And they were saying that apparently some of the moves are references to, like, Iron Maiden songs, apparently. I think.
I don't know that.
I don't remember. And then number 1 was Doom, which,
come on.
It takes place on Hell, on Mars.
John Romero.
Yeah.
If it was anything other than Doom, I would be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it was up there. So then I saw this list, and I noticed there were a few omissions.
Can I mention mine first, because it's sort of a joke?
Ahead.
How about that weird, even though they're not metal, Aerosmith arcade game where you shoot the CDs at people?
Oh, what was that game?
I don't remember, but I remember it was at, like, there's a weird Aerosmith arcade game that I played because it was near the place near me. It was in the place near me that had, like, batting cages. You know those places that have, like, everything? That have, like, batting cages, an arcade, like a basketball courts, like laser tag. It has, like, you know, anything you can think of in that vein. They had an arcade machine that had the weird Aerosmith arcade game where you shot CDs at people.
Oh, Revolution X.
It's pretty bad.
You could buy one for $1,100 on Etsy.
On Etsy?
Yeah.
Like the arcade machine on Etsy?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it even has.
Is it like hand stitched on the sides?
I don't know. I'll put a link in.
That's all I think of when I think of Etsy is like needlepoint thing. Oh, that is straight up Revolution X. Wow. Yeah, it's not worth it.
So if you want that game for way too much money, then go ahead.
Yeah, Ken Ship. Imagine just that showing up at your door in a big ass box.
Just said it so randomly.
No, there is a chick with some great cleavage in that first image right there. No,
that's Steven Tyler.
Oh, is that? Oh, damn. Okay.
Actually, yeah, I don't know. So I just sort of made that up.
You have that. I noticed that there is a severe lack of Ed Hunter,
yes.
Which, as we all know, is the Iron Maiden game where you follow around Eddie as he goes through the Iron Maiden album cover inspired levels. And
that's an old PC game, isn't it?
Yeah. It was actually. They did a tour for that album, which was the tour that Bruce Dickinson rejoined Iron Maiden on. And they didn't have an album, so they're like, we're just going to tour to support this game that no one played.
That's funny.
That's pretty funny. And then also, they forgot Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, which lets you actually play as Eddie on a skateboard.
Yep.
And Number of the Beast is on the soundtrack. I don't know how you missed that.
So is My Adidas by Run DMC.
I think it's also a System of a Down song.
And an NWA song.
They're not metal.
Neither is Run DMC.
I was actually naming metal bands. You were naming rap bands.
There's a Flogging Molly song on there.
Oh.
They're not really metal either.
Which, I'm probably going to go see Flogging Molly and... who is doing my... Goddamn. Beers. I can't think right now.
Yes. Tropic Murphys?
Yeah, they're coming...
Those two bands are the same band as far as I'm concerned.
They're coming to Austin. And so we're going to go... A friend of mine and we're going to go check them out. So, good times.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset Ed Hunter's not on there. I would have... Not even as, like, a honorable mention. I don't get it.
What are you doing, game trailers? Where is your journalist?
Where is Jeff Keighley?
Hills.
The Dorito Pope.
He's sitting on his throne of Doritos.
And Mountain Dew.
That joke is old.
It never gets old.
All right, so that's all I got. Anyone else have anything else they want to bring up?
Not particularly.
Ian's, any other albums you listen to?
No, that's about
that,
it.
That strangely attract you?
No.
Now he's just linking questionable for work images into the Skype chat. Is there any purpose to this image?
Nope.
That's a large
that
image.
That is a large image. No, that's about it. There's no other musical tangents I've gone down this week.
It's been a pretty, right. Outside of Vancanto, it's been a slow week, which is probably going to be most of the weeks in this year.
Well, once I think more bands are touring this summer, there might be more things to talk about.
We should do a show live from the show that we're at.
The Ice Earth show?
Yeah, just live. Just won't be able to understand
anything. Like during their set?
Yeah, just won't be able to understand anything.
It's like, here's the recordings of the show currently.
Of course, we only have like a phone, so it'll just be straight noise because all those microphones are terrible.
Well, if each one of you record your own individual tracks and then send it to me off your phone, then I may be able to piece together something.
I don't think that would work.
I think it's also technically bootlegging.
Whatever.
I'll play some J-pop and K-pop in the background.
You play some baby metal. Is replacing Sabaton as the opener.
Okay, can I? I want to have a. I want to make an announcement of something that I. What do you call it? A confession. That per se.
Okay.
Here's my confession. And
all right, brace yourselves.
So, Sabaton, I had always thought before I heard it the name said by you, and by Tyler many times. I thought it was Sabaton. Yeah,
did you not watch any of their live videos where the singer runs out and just says, "We are Sabaton"?
No, I hadn't at that time. I always thought it was Sabaton. I was like, okay, cool. And so I was always telling people, yeah, Sabaton, they got a new album. And then I was like, oh.
Sabaton Bach.
Yeah, Sabaton Bach.
So yeah, there's my confession for this evening. So.
Damn.
All right, you can all poach Swiddle in the comments.
Yes.
Poach me like an egg. Keep doing it.
Poached eggs are gross.
All right, I think that this is about does it. Let's do some plugs. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Just that.
Well, we still do the Lincoln Cast and the Scotch Cast for the Vidya Games as Ian keeps posting naughty pictures in the Skype chat.
I will not include.
Are you just are like? Are you just like on r/ gone wild?
Yeah, I am.
And just jeez. And I guess. I'm going to start doing a thing. You guys can do the same thing if you want. I'm just going to pick one album that I think people should listen to this week if they haven't, just from my random pool of music here. And I'm just going to say people should listen to Opeth's Damnation.
Is that their latest one?
No. It is from 2003. It's the only other one besides their most recent one, Heritage, that does not feature any, like, growling vocals.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out.
It's, like, really slow and a lot of... I guess somber arrangements, but it's pretty good. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, I really want to like Opeth, so I'll give it another shot.
If you really want to like Opeth, just listen to Blackwater Park.
All right, I'll do that. You can follow us on Twitter if you really want to. I don't know why you would want to.
No, follow us on Twitter. We're all awesome people. Yep. Except for Ian.
Well, some of us are strangely attracted to things.
Are you strangely attracted to Twitter?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm TY_Rosen. You are... What is it again? I keep forgetting.
I am at Matt_Leslie, LESLIE 35.
And I am at Mr. Squiddle.
Boom. And we are
please
Sabaton, and this is
please
Ghost
don't
of
post
Division.
Any of those pictures on your Twitter that you
no,
posted
no.
us.
No, you can post them on Twitter. It's fine.
No,
Twitter,
I know.
Don't care.
One thing I do want to plug, Primordial, if you guys never heard of them, definitely check them out. So.
All right, that's going to do it. Thank you for all the feedback you left last week. Please continue to...
Yes, talking with people on threads about metal is always fun.
Yeah, if you have any questions or anything, leave them in there. We'll try to address them. And if anyone is interested in maybe making some album art or even a theme song, please
let us
know.
Hold on, I want to address something.
Okay.
People were asking, like, hey, is there any way I can get involved in this? And here's how I see it, right? I'm trying to do this without sounding like a dick. Uh-oh. The three of us, like, we knew each other before we started doing this show, right? So we kind of have a thing. But that being said, once we sort of, I guess, get the kinks ironed out in the show, I say it's totally fine if people want to come on for an episode or two. I just don't want to be in the situation where we have, like, eight people on a podcast.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I feel like we need to actually kind of get in contact beforehand and kind of feel each other out before we actually start recording, because we might have someone that we totally don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Just like, it's not like you're just going to like blow up the consulate by coming on this podcast. Like, that's not going to happen. The worst that happens is completely differing tastes in music, which could lead to an interesting show as well.
Yeah, we actually encourage that.
I mean, if I could find one country and one pop fan and convert them to metal, I think my life has been complete.
Spread the good word.
Yeah, once we sort of straighten things out and figure out what the show actually is, I think we'll then probably open it up to, hey, if you want to be on an episode, just hit us up, and we'll get into contact and start to have our people call your people.
All right, sounds good. Okay, let's end this before Ian starts sending more questionable links.
Headbangers Ball More Time.
Bye, guys!
Goodbye.